traveling monk, renunciate travels nowadays very internationally all over the world. Therefore, we are especially happy to have Maharaj also here in Switzerland. And Maharaj is known for his enthusiasm to inspire the devotees to practice Krishna consciousness and especially to go deeper in their spiritual life. And Maharaj also very often speaks about the importance of chanting the holy name and also has written several books on that topic, different topics. And just this is the latest book, The Living Name. It's a very wonderful book which gives us a very practical guidance how to deepen our mantra meditation. So that book is also available in the temple shop, and we are very fortunate to have now Maharaj's personal association, and we're looking forward to hear about some spiritual deep topics which will inspire us. Thank you so much for being with us, Maharaj. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Krishna Prema Rupa. Thank you, Krishna Prema Rupa, and everyone for coming. I must say, when I drove with Ananda Chaitanya up the Bergstraße, you know, I remembered the many, many years in which I was visiting and staying for long periods of time in the Zurich temple. It was just like going back into my past. I knew every tree on the road, so to say, but I also noted that they had become much bigger than in my time. And I then went into the temple, I of course remembered all the history. Janeshwar, thank you for me.
Wow.
Well, this is a whole flower garden. Thank you very much, Hari Bol. I remembered, of course, the history of the temple. Many very pleasant memories came to me, and now very happy to be amongst all of you to see some known faces start to get grey on the sides. Udava also some grey hairs there. Still there's something which, despite the changes which we all go through, that stays the same. And I've always believed that if the human being can connect with that spiritual essence in him and in others as well, but in him, then despite all these changes, there is no reason to be melancholic, because the same things, or the spiritual essence, is not touched. And I believe this is one of the great side effects of genuine spiritual practice. You come to a place where you feel safe, where the changes around you do not affect you anymore, where you remain like a mountain, stable. When we were in the Bhakti retreat, Gokrishna and myself took a cable cart, you know, the Seilbahn, sagt man in Schweizerdeutsch. And I always say we were flying through the air, you know, like a bird. And we saw first on our left side these very, very strong or stable mountains. And I asked Guru Krishna, why do you think is the mountain so strong, so stable, so fixed, so unmovable, so undisturbed? And both of us came to the conclusion it's because the mountain doesn't just go very high. That's not the only direction. The mountain goes also extremely deep. Did you know that? That's a goes really into the earth. And because of its deep foundation, its rock, granite foundation, therefore the mountain is so stable and serves in a way as an example for steadiness, for inner stability. There can be, like, remember that one night, wow, there was a thunderstorm, and we were, because we were a little high, we were right in it. It was a, in German you would say Gewittersturm. It really sounds strong, no? a thunderstorm was there, and some of you might, who were there, might have remembered the flashes were just going through the valley, and some of them were just going diagonal, you know, from one side of the mountain to the next. And a lot of water came down. Really, it was a lot of change in the mountains, you could say. But next morning, when I looked out of my window, the mountain was the same. It had not moved. It had not gone to complain at the Schweizer Bergwacht, you know. It had not been ruffled at all. It remained as it is. So the scriptures say that someone who has found his deep foundation, his deep spiritual standing, his standing in Krishna consciousness, in God consciousness, that whatever life throws at him, whatever storm he has to go through, whatever changes happen in his life, he will not really be disturbed, because due to his deep spiritual foundation, he's like the mountain who, when there's a storm, he's only getting cleaner. No problem. He's getting washed of the bird stool or whatever is there. So yes, when you are able to be like the mountain, so fixed in your Krishna consciousness, then when the rains of change, the winds of change and storms come, you will become purer and cleaner and more beautiful internally than you were before. It is about this subject which I would like to talk about today, how to become fixed in life, how to become stable and maybe become a little like a mountain. Would you like to become a mountain? Of course, well, you say now, yes, but if you have to stand out in the night, we will check you. No, but we know how I mean this question. Good, so let us start this lecture. But first I must say I'm extremely pleased to be here. And I remember even 20 years ago or 30 years ago, we were thinking, this temple room is actually a little small. On Sunday. During weekdays, it's as big as the universe, because the contradiction of the Zurich temple. Sunday, it's empty. On weekdays, it's more empty, but on Sunday, ooh, I think it's because of our good cooks. Hare Krishna. No, I'm joking with you. All right, so let us sing a little Jai Radha Madhava. But first I must thank you, Deva Dharma. Your mridanga playing very good today. Woo. And your smile, very good smile. Devadama is from Mayapur at the banks of the Ganga, and he, when he is on fire, he is on fire. Hare Krishna. Tera Radha Madhava Kunyaviya
Sahaja, 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 Sahaja.
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Jaya Prabhu Pada, Prabhu Pada, Prabhu Pada, Chila Prabhu Pada,
Jaya Prabhu Pada, Prabhu Pada, Chila Prabhu Pada,
Jaya Prabhu Pada, Jaya Prabhu Pada, Jaya Prabhu Pada, Chila Prabhu Pada,
Jaya Prabhu Pada, Prabhu Pada, Prabhu Pada, Chila Prabhu Pada,
Jaya Gauranikai, Jaya Gauranikai, Jaya Gauranikai, Jaya Gauranikai,
Jaya Gauranikai, Jaya Gauranikai,
Jaya Jagannath, Jaya Jagannath, Jaya Baladeva, Jaya Subhadra, Jaya Baladeva,
Krishna, Krishna.
So, Hare Krishna. Before I start, let me make sure that the translation is properly arranged. There is a translation, I understand, into the sweet German language. It's not so sweet, actually. Also die von euch eine Übersetzung ins Deutsche brauchen, bitte geht zu Krishna Prema Rupa in der Ecke. Ich kann euch schon warnen, ich werde einige Vokabeln benutzen, die ihr garantiert nicht kennt. Do we have a Russian translation as well? Eine very small Russian translation. I know that the Sudevi needs a Russian translation. Maybe, and here also yeah, I know, but we can have one. Ah, ich erinnere dich, glaube ich. Ich glaube, eine ist genug, wenn wir eine Übersetzung haben, oder? Wollt ihr nicht vielleicht so eine russische Ecke da machen? Ja, dann würde ich. Ist so und so günstig, wenn ihr dort seid, wo nicht so viele Leute zuhören, die nicht Russisch können. Mm-hmm. So there will be a Russian corner there. Acha. It's arranged. So good, good. Thank you very much for your patience. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nityanamine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatyare Satarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitana Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadhara Shri Vasadi Vande Sri Krishna Chaitanya Nityananda Sahodito Godadaye Pushpavanto Shitro Shando Tamonudo. I gave already a similar presentation in London in the spring of this year. I had just received this postcard. Can you see what is on the postcard? It's a little maybe difficult to see from far away. It shows a hand that throws ashes into the air. A hand throws ashes into the wind. And in that letter which accompanied the postcard, there was a question. What remains when all of this has gone? It's an old question. The question asks, what is truly of importance in life. Very, very important question. And I must admit, at that time it was January. I had been, yes, in London. I received the postcard in London, and oh, London. You must go to London to believe London. It's so hectic there. Ooh. Hare Krishna. Zurich is a village in comparison. No, I know Zurich stress is also known, but the London stress, you know, Zurich stress is like the Matterhorn. The London stress is like the Himalayas, you know. Really something else. And it stopped me, this question. What truly is important in life? Imagine we would make a movie of your entire life. Everything is in there, even when you sleep. My movie would be very long, 65 plus years. I would have to go into the cinema to watch this video of my life, 64. No one can watch such a movie. So imagine, by modern technology, we would shrink your movie into only 2 minutes and 30 seconds. Yup! Udava's life is up till now is depicted in this movie. Zup! Bhakti Labia's life. Bhakti Labia's Prabhu's life. Then what of all the scenes, some are really very fast passing, would be truly important now? I remember when I was a child, I lamented for many, many days about the death of Winky. Winky was my favorite friend. It was a little plastic puppet. It had big eyes, really big eyes. And when you would turn Winky like this, he would say, good morning. When you turn him like that, he would say, good night. That was the extent of his communication with me. But I felt greatly honored, because at least he was a reliable friend. He would always say what he was programmed to say. It was a great tragedy for me, and it became a great tragedy for my family, whom I got on their nerves. You know, Winky is dead. How can you go to your meaningless job, father? Winky is dead, mother. How can you even think of cooking the lunch meal? You know, he has died. But now I talk sometimes about Winky in a lecture about the unimportant things. Things which are fleeting, which are passing by. Isn't a lot of what we think is important today, is that not of the same nature of that Winky importance? You know, it's important for a short time, and then it goes. So the question remains, what is truly important in all the things which you do? Is it your job? Is it your mountain bike? Is it maybe your house in which you stay at the moment, your apartment? Is it that conversation you had yesterday evening? This ancient Vedic scriptures, and I was reminded when I, you know, when you get a postcard like this, and with that a question, everything goes, what is really important in life? Ooh, it makes you think. I have a notebook here, which travels since a few years with me, there are all my lectures, which I, not all, but many of my lectures are in here. I've a few other notebooks which have more lectures. And I found a verse, I mean, I was looking for this verse, which I would like to read to you. I think in the face of death, in the face of leaving everything behind, which is expressed in my postcard, yeah, the question, what is truly important, gains more weight. And I found this verse here. I would like to read it to you. I brought my orchestra from Germany with me. At the time of death, the wealth a person collected stays in the safe place where it was put. At the time of one's death, this speaks now about a farmer, the cows and the goats that were his own remain in their barns, their dwelling places. At the time of death, this is now traditional India, if one was married, one's wife accompanies him only up to the doorway. Friends and relatives come with him only up to the funeral ground. His body accompanies him only up to the funeral pyre and the fire. The only thing that assists a person beyond is his dharma. What is dharma? We could express it in a simple word, purpose, your purpose, but it would touch, like with all these English translations, only one small aspect of dharma. But let us start with this. All of us come into this world with something that is our purpose, something which needs to be done by us. We all have been given a certain talent, and with this talent comes a responsibility to use our talents or our human endowments in a wise way that is according to our unique purpose. Platon used to express it in a very nice way. He said, there's only one place in the universe which is not yet occupied. And that is your place. Why live the life of someone else? And even in the German literature, we have this person, Friedrich Nietzsche. He said, there's only one way, one path, which still waits because no one has gone it. It's your path. Why try to walk the path of someone else? Same idea. There's something very unique, something which is very special. And that something may still wait for you. You may not yet have discovered it. If you have discovered that something, you are so satisfied. Someone who is in his dharma is just very, very satisfied. I was looking today during kirtan, like many of you, at our Devadharma. Your name is Devadharma or Devadam?
Dharma.
Dharma. Like our subject matter. Ooh. I was looking at our Devadharma. Devadharma is known as a drum teacher. No, you teach the drum, the Mridanga drum, in Mayapur. You can find him when he is not traveling. He teaches the mantras of the Mridanga. Tena, tena, ta. And many like this. It is what he can do, what he is meant to do. It's his purpose. And when you see him playing that Mridanga drum, you immediately know this man found his Dharma. Isn't it, Janeshwara Prabhu? Have you seen? He's smiling and he calls out, Haribol, Haribol, which means sing the name of God, you know. And he could, at this moment, he doesn't need anything else than his Mridanga and inspiring kirtan, nothing more, because he is in his Dharma. Mridanga teacher, a drum teacher, and drum player also. There may be other aspects to his Dharma, which, you know, we don't want to go too much into the detail. But if you found your Dharma, if you are at your right place, my dear people, you have no worries left. I would like to give you an example. Look at these beautiful Zurich lamps. And look in particular at one light bulb. When that light bulb is screwed into its proper place, it gives light. If it is not there, it is cold, uninteresting, no light. Most probably you would not even notice it and step on it, and so on. But if it's at its proper place, if it's connected with its purpose, that is to give light, then another power then is within its own power, just fills it up, the power of Dharma. When you are connected with the Dharma, with your own Dharma, the whole universe works through you and you can give up worrying what you should do or what you should not do. You know this is right. In London, I said that my worldly father wanted me to become a CEO. Is it called CEO? You're right? Manager. But I somehow felt it was not the right path for me. I couldn't even tolerate to sit in the school for more than 5 minutes, and then I was already making escape plans. So I would have not been a good manager. I met my spiritual master, and I had an audience in 1974 with him. I met him earlier, and yes, I asked him questions, but the main question I asked him in 1974, what should I do? And he said to me very clearly, you should become like me and bring spiritual knowledge to the people. I mean, I can never become like him, but he wanted to say, you should speak about spiritual knowledge, present spiritual knowledge, write, and so on. And I felt very relieved when I heard this, and I'm doing this. It's my Dharma. I can't imagine to not do it. I was thinking about this when Gokrishna and myself took a little, we needed some alone time, so we went to some forest, and there was a man coming with his daughter, and he looked at me, a monk, and it was his forest, he owned that forest, looked at me with curiosity, and his daughter was only this big, Marlene was her name, looked also at me, and I understood, well, he's curious to find out what a monk does in this forest. And I said, yes, I'm a monk, I'm in a very old tradition, I've learned, I'm giving lectures all over, and so on. And after talking like this, I thought, well, I'm meeting this person maybe once in my life, not more. So should I not be helpful to this person? And I said, look here at this forest. Yes, it's my forest. And there is a mountain before. Yes, it is a mountain, and he gave the name. Did you create it? No, it was here before. Yes, I think it was it is a temple of God, and if you can come here and sit and be peaceful, you can meet the Lord in the temple of nature. So I was talking like this because that is what I do. It's my Dharma. I cannot imagine to not do it. Even if you would put me in the desert, I would most probably start to speak to the sand. Because it is inherent, just like I'm sweating. This is normal for me to do, you know, in summer at least. And in the same way, Dharma is so natural to a person. And once he has found out what is his Dharma, once he is situated in his Dharma, that is the main point here. Life becomes, in a way, effortless. Look at the bulb again. Does it have to create the light? No. The bulb doesn't have a laboratory and make light in it. It is just connected and takes the strength from somewhere else, the electrical energy. So in the same way, you, when you are in your Dharma, you take strength from the Dharma energy. No, the Dharma energy, which empowers the whole universe. So many people walk in, did not find their Dharma yet. They are like people who walk, who do something, but it's as if they walk in shoes which are two numbers too small. It's just so painful for them. Have you ever tried to walk in shoes, Rupa Manjari, that are two numbers too small for your size? Every movement is painful for you. Many people walk like this through their life. They do something which they are not meant to do. It's not their Dharma. They are not in their place. They are in the place of someone else. It's not their path. They walk the path of someone else. And that is misery. Even if you get money at the end, or even if everyone says, wow, you are so such a prestigious position you have, you feel, if these people know how much I suffer, they would not even come close to my breath. Yeah. Now, Dharma, if you want to really find Dharma, you need three aspects. Oh, now again, so complicated. Don't worry, it's very simple, but you have to listen a little bit with the God-given, you know. Just like health in classical Ayurveda science requires three things, Dharma requires also three things. Health, what do you require for health? Proper nourishment means proper food, the right amount of sleep, You know, it's very, very important, proper sleep. And then you need a lifestyle, you know, with exercises or movement is even better. In old times, people didn't need to do exercises because they were moving about, you know. But you need to move the body, no? So Ayurveda says three things are necessary for health. In the same way, you, if you want to be in your Dharma, you need to find three Dharmas. The first is, it's called in Sanskrit Swadharma, the second is called Dharma, and the third is Sanatan Dharma. What's that? Swadharma is Dharma in relationship to your own life, you know, that is, what are you meant to do now? As you are now, not as a as an enlightened being, but as you are now, with this body, these hands, these legs, and this nature, this inner nature. What are you? Are you an artist, maybe? Or a musician, maybe? Or what is your Dharma as you are now? It's called Swadharma. Like I told you, my father wanted me to become a CEO, a director of a large company. I mean, I think he did not think I would become the main director, but one of the small directors in there. That was not my Dharma. I'm terrible at management and organization. Terrible! If you would make me the Zurich temple president, everyone would run out of the temple in 2 weeks. You know, I'm so bad in the management. But I like to talk about spiritual things. Maybe I'm not so good in the moment, but it is what I can do, the best I can do. Then Dharma is the next, on another level, is Dharma in relationship to others. That is, the greatest value in relationship to others is called in Sanskrit ahimsa, or another word, a positive description. Ahimsa means non-violence, and a positive description means to be compassionate towards others, to help others. That is what you do in relationship to others. Whenever you position yourself to another person or even an animal, you should think about being compassionate. That's one of the main reasons why we in this Hare Krishna movement are vegetarians, strict vegetarians. Now you will be very interesting at the moment inside the movement, an internal discussion is going on. Now, because I'm an older devotee, I know about it. Devotees begin to discuss, are we really non-violent and compassionate if we continue to drink milk? Because milk is harvested or is gotten with a lot of violence to the cow. You can see documentaries like Cowspiracy, you know, not conspiracy, but Cowspiracy. And you will not be able after to drink milk for at least a week after that. It's just so much you see what is how your milk is brought to you. So this discussion is going on. It's not an easy discussion. And I'm not saying this or that about the discussion. I think it is some people who think about what is Dharma in relationship to others. They want to be non-violent. My spiritual master was even not willing to kill an ant. I remember once he was sitting before his table and there was an ant crawling on the how do you say that, the surface of the table, or the, please help me, how do we call it?
Tabletop.
Thank you. Thank you. And it's a tabletop. So there was an ant going on. And there was a devotee sitting before him, Nara Narayan. He was of Russian descent and he was known to have a hefty temper, a temperamentful person. And Prabhupada, they had talked about many things, and then Prabhupada said, "What is your duty in relationship to the ant?" "What, I have a duty towards the ant?" That's new concept, you know. Maybe he thought, well, he is disturbing the ant. But what is your duty towards the ant? Narayan had no answer what his duty towards the ant was. And the way I was told the story, Prabhupada said, protect it. So this is an ethical value, dharma. You can't be a violent person and at the same time go to a yoga class. You go to a yoga class, Om Shanti. Then you come home and your dog is at the entrance and you kick him in the behind. Get out of my way! Then you are not a yogi. It's not proper. You are not, have not understood the whole idea of yoga and self-realization. No? And then there is another dharma, a third type of dharma, dharma in relationship to God. This is called Sanatan Dharma or Atma Dharma. It's something which lasts eternally. You know, your nature, what you are meant to do, will change. A musician, if someone is by his dharma a musician or a drum teacher, that may change in another life. His particular duties towards others, like he may be in one life a family man or family woman, and in another life an ascetic person, that may change. The dharma or activities in relationship to self and others may change. But Sanatan Dharma, the eternal dharma, will never change. It is always the same. You are always a part of God. You are not a part of God after you have joined the Hare Krishna movement, and before you were not a you were not yet a part of God. You're not a part of God when you are in a certain religion and so on, and if you're not, then you are something else. No, you're always a divine being, a child of eternity, and you have a relationship to the Supreme, which is described in many, many ways. When the founder of our movement, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, explained Sanatan Dharma, he said simply three things. I'm looking at my notes here so that I don't miss anything. And I think it is altogether. Yes, you should chant the holy names of the Lord, glorify the Lord, worship Him. That's why we are known as the Hare Krishna people. We are always singing the names of God everywhere, even on the streets of Zurich and at the lakeside of Zurich. And you should know, get to know something about your relationship with the Lord. That's another very important aspect. For that you read the Bhagavad Gita. Then you do service to other people who are on the spiritual path. It's called Vaishnava Seva. You try to be helpful for their spiritual advancement. And finally, the last thing which you do is you are helping others to advance. Jiva Dharma. That's why Prabhupada asked, what's your responsibility towards the end now? Jiva Dharma. Jiva Daya. Mercy or compassion with others. That's what we do. We have a spiritual practice which we do, centered around chanting and knowing about the Lord and worshipping Him, serving those who are on the spiritual path, and trying really to be helpful to all living entities in their spiritual advancement. And that's how we situate ourselves. In the past, I have tried, and this will be my last point, I have tried to develop a life school, spiritual life school, and it's almost finished. The work is almost finished. It just needs to be edited now and then published. And I'm describing there a Dharma house, which protects someone. The house of your Dharma has a fundament, it has walls, and it has a roof. The fundament of your Dharma house is your Sanatana Dharma. The walls, your eternal Dharma. The walls of the house is how you act towards others, how you do your responsibilities towards others. And the roof of your Dharma house is your own purpose. And you live in your own purpose. The reins of material life just don't harm you any longer. Many people have asked me, how can I find my Dharma? And they usually mean their purpose. How can I do what is right for me? How can I stop walking in shoes that are two numbers too small for me? How can I find my place in life? They asked like this. And I always ask back, do you have any idea already? Have you thought already about something? And sometimes they say, well, there are questionnaires, you know. There are questions like, what do you like? When were you best? What does the world need from you? And in this way, I was trying for many years to find my Dharma by these self-help methods. But I tell you very honestly, I have not found it yet. I also am in our movement, in the Hare Krishna movement, I'm often asked, tell me, how can I find my right place in all of this? I said, any idea you have so far? And then everyone has an idea, obviously. But I see that it's not easy. And I've seen it was not easy for me. So I would like to suggest to you something which you might do to find exactly your Dharma, your purpose. Do that what you know already. And as you do what you know already about your Dharma, you will see that you come to a level where you can see things which you could not see before. We are often suffering in our life because we just can't see what is obvious. Do we have time to hear a joke? Should I tell you my favorite joke, Rupa Manjari? Rupa Manjari is not knowing. I will tell you my favorite joke. Nasruddin comes one day riding on a donkey to the border and he says, "I can't believe it, I'm smuggling. I'm such a sinner. Everyone worships me as a saint, but I'm smuggling." The tall people say, "Come on, Nasruddin, what are you smuggling?" "It's not my duty to tell you. You're getting your pay because you are meant to find out, no?" They say, "Spread your arms, please." And they search him and they say, "Nasruddin, you're just joking. Move on." Next month, Nasruddin comes again on his donkey and says, "I can't believe it. Again, I'm smuggling. What are you smuggling? Tell us." "You have to find out. You're getting paid now for this." I say, "Nasruddin, you don't leave us any chance. Now vomit and pass stool. We will see if there's anything in here or here." And they make him do this. Nothing. Nothing is there. This goes on for 40 years, every month. What the people notice is that next to his border, a palace is built. Nasruddin's palace. He's making good money. He's really becoming rich. So after something like 41 years, you know, after that time, they asked, one of the officers who worked at the toll said, I'm in pension now, and you don't have anything to fear. Can you just tell me, what was it that you were smuggling? We all knew you were smuggling something. You made so much money. Look at the building here." Nasruddin smiled and said, "Donkeys." I know, I also never can understand such jokes, so I will tell you. Some of you understood, but the rest... Every month, Nasruddin came with a new donkey to the border and said, "I'm smuggling." And they tried everything. His clothes, his behind the ear, in the ear, everything, in the nose, everything. Nothing was there. He took the donkey to the other side of the border, and when no one looked, sold it. You know, some town or something. And then he went back, got a new donkey, and smuggled the new donkey. So the people saw, looked at him, they saw the donkey, but they overlooked the donkey. Yes? So we are surrounded with our Dharma, but we overlook it. We don't see it. We see and we don't see. So to find it out, you need to come to a higher level of perception. And that is always done when you do what you already know. Because then when you catch Dharma a little bit, you feel the power of Dharma working through you, and you become more exalted and more a visionary. I personally recommend, there is one type of Dharma which is always with you, remember? Sanatan Dharma doesn't change. So invest in there, and after some time, the Lord in the heart will show you what is your Swadharma, what you do now with the body and mind. You only need to ask. Don't forget to ask. And how you can act in relationship to others. I wish all of you
finished. I wish all of you that you find your Dharma house. No? Fundament, walls and roof. Fundament, eternal spiritual activities, Sanatan Dharma. Walls means how to act towards others in a helpful way. And finally, your roof, that is how to act in how to do what is your purpose, what you are meant to do in this life. I think this will help you very, very much, the simple idea of developing your Dharma house. I think in Switzerland everyone wants to build a house. Most people, I know even Jai Gopal wanted to build a house. Normal people, normally, I also would. We are living actually in a small house, but it's normal for us to have our own place. So build a house that you can take with you everywhere you go. Even on the bus, you can bring your Dharma house and you will be taken. You will be all right. No? Something. Yes. So, what should we do now? Kirtan. Do kirtan. Huh? Should we do one small kirtan? I would like to show you a little something. Would you like to do kirtan in a deep way? See, most of us, when we do, many of us, when we do kirtan, the sound is just outside of us and not really inside. And when we do kirtan, we are meant to listen to the sound vibration and let it work in us, a mantra. And I would like to do one simple mantra with you before I start. I want to request you to sit straight. We will make an experiment with the power of spiritual sound. You've heard a lot, but now it's time to experience. Sanatan Dharma, one of the activities of Sanatan Dharma, the eternal Dharma, is to sing, yes, to sing the names of the Lord, to sing kirtan. But you need to sing with your whole being. So let us first do an exercise. I will chant one monosyllable mantra, the sacred name of Ram, and then you please say the name three times after me. One time alone, and then everyone. Inside of you.
were absorbed in the sound of Ram, let us be absorbed in all the holy names. There are also a few Rams in the Mahamantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare
Hare Krishna, Krishna
Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. more time, please.
Above Krishna's mercy, that we shall also find our Dharma, our Sanatan Dharma, our Svadharma. What is our purpose here? What is our purpose eternally? And our ekdharmically towards others. Thank you very much. We will serve you now. Very nice. Now I have an idea. I have a very good idea. For only 2 minutes, not more, turn to your neighbor and discuss with your neighbor what you have understood from this lecture. I have to think. Any neighbor is good, you know. I will go with Uddhava. So, just very quickly. Start now. Don't talk about mobile telephones or something. What you understood.
Yeah. I understood wenn ich mich zuwende, dem Sanatan Dharma, dann wird sich Krishna im Herzen offenbaren und mir die Svadharma und das Dharma auch zeigen.
Thank you.
thank you very, very much. I see some of you are just only starting. don't stop. You can discuss with the others, with your partners or with your friends about this. That is one of the benefits of going to a temple. We want to speak with others about the spiritual knowledge. We don't want to be lazy and just fill our stomachs. We want to also fill our hearts. But now is time for eating prasadam. We say in German, now we have talked enough words, now we need to see prasadam and taste. I thank you very much. Those of you who can stay on, we have the evening there for an evening kirtan. When do we start? 7 o'clock. What arti? Yeah, the arti is at 7 o'clock, and around 7:30 we do more like the sitting kirtan and so on. Yes. So have a nice appetite, good fire of digestion, and Hare Krishna!